As we've heard, there's a whole host of human activities influencing the marine environment. A main player in this area is fishing, and one particular method, trawl fishing, can cause damage that not only wipes out entire marine communities, but that damage can't be undone for hundreds of years. Most prone to this damage are the species that live in burrows, tubes that extend into the seabed. Although less glamorous than the fish, turtles and whales, these species are vital for a healthy marine ecosystem. Les Watling, also from the University of Hawaii, spoke to Mira about what we can do to prevent this from happening.
Well, trawling is a method of catching fish that actually started in Britain in the 14th century, where someone found out that you could, if you took a net and held it open some way and hauled it behind a boat, you could get a lot of fish, but you also get a lot of other stuff. I've actually been looking at effects of fishing for about 15 years, and I've been in submarines and I've had cameras on remote vehicles. What I generally see is that when an area has been trawled, there's not much living on the surface of the ocean floor. We know that trawls also dig into the sediment. They disrupt all kinds of things. So generally, if you go to an area that's trawled, it's really, really noticeable.
When the boats are going by, what effect is the trawling having on the seabed?
Usually what happens is anything that's standing up from the bottom, anything like a sponge or coral or something that's growing up from the bottom, that's usually bent over, broken, or removed. If it's a muddy bottom, then the gear digs into the bottom. And the important thing here is to realize that most of the animals that live in the muddy bottom live in the upper 3 or 4 centimeters. So you don't have to dig in very far before you've disrupted the burrows and tubes of all these small things.
Okay, so they've been disrupted, but then what's the impact of that? What effect does that have?
It depends. Some animals recover from this disruption okay, which means they can make a new burrow or tube. But a lot of animals that invest, they invest a huge amount of energy into making a tube. In fact, some cases, some of the marine worms, for example, they've lost the ability to remake a tube. So then that's it. Then they are laying on the surface and they could be eaten by a fish or any other thing that comes along. So they've lost their protection, as it were. Other animals raise their young in their burrows and tubes, and if that's destroyed, then the babies may not be able to burrow their way out of this mud that's been stirred up. So we tend to see species in these trawled areas that have really high reproduction. They're weeds, in the best sense of the word. They have high reproduction, they can recolonize, they're capable of getting their house blown down, if you want to think of it that way, and rebuild it real fast, all that sort of stuff. So you tend to lose the things that have a longer, more stable lifestyle, especially if it's an area that's trawled repeatedly. If a person drags a trawl over an area once, then a lot of things will survive that. Maybe half of the things that live there will survive that. And there will be a certain amount of recolonization that could occur in future years. But a lot of times trawling occurs over and over again in particular areas. Fishermen have their favorite spots. And when you go to those areas, you find that the whole bottom community has really changed to these weedy type species, which is, you know, from a fish perspective, might not be so bad because a lot of fish tend to eat those weedy species too. So you could get, like flatfishes, for example. It's been shown in the North Sea that if you retrawl areas a lot, you can get flatfishes, but you might not get other kinds of fishes because their food is missing. You create a completely different bottom community and a new ecosystem, as it were. One parallel that I like to use is what happens when you go in and, as happened in North America, for example, colonists came, they cut down all the forest, and they turned it into pasture land. So you lost all of the birds that nested in the trees. So it's a very similar kind of thing. The community is still productive because now you're growing sheep or cattle or whatever, but you have lost a lot of the biodiversity that was there.
How much of the world's marine ecosystem is being affected by trawling?
Well, that's a hard estimate to make. We looked at the number of fishing vessels and where they were around the world about 10 years ago, and we figured that about half of the continental shelves of the world get trawled each year. That number is obviously fluctuating because fisheries have collapsed in a lot of these areas. And it may be the collapse of some of these continental shelf fisheries that will allow some of this biodiversity to recover.
So what do you think the solution is? What can we now aim to do, knowing this?
Well, this is going to be a little controversial. But, you know, people have been proposing for a number of years now to set aside marine protected areas that you don't go into with any kind of gear. And these areas are generally been proposed to be about 20 or 30% of the continental shelf area around the world. We should be looking at it the other way around, that we should protect most of the sea bottom and allow trawls into only a very small percentage.
And I guess if that does happen, do you think that the effects that trawling has had so far is reversible?
It's reversible. The timescales are going to be long the deeper you go in the sea. I have a project that we just finished looking at an area that had been close to trawling for 6 years. And it doesn't look at all anything like the areas that have never been trawled. So that's 6 years on. If you go into really deep water, we know on the seamounts, for example, that corals recruit at extremely low rates. We had a study where we were looking for coral recruits on the seamounts in the North Atlantic, and we found one on a block that had been put out, that had been out there for a year and a half.
So I guess if fishing can be reduced, the outlook is quite promising, and it's not something that's just going to be left disturbed.
Promising in the long run, yeah. For the continental shelves, for areas that have rocky, stony, marl bottoms, those, we're looking at 25 to 50 years probably for a recovery time before the big things like sponges start to regrow. The deeper you go, though, the longer. I'm certain that seamounts that have had all the corals removed from the top will not have corals again for a century or two centuries. This is a really long time.
It is worrying that it takes so little to damage an ecosystem that will take centuries to recover. Les Watling there from the University of Hawaii.
Sorting out the sparks from the quarks. The Naked Scientists. For more information, get online at nakedscientists.com.
This is The Naked Scientists with Ben Valsler and Diana O'Carroll. We're sitting in for Chris and the gang while they're off enjoying their summer holidays. And we're bringing you the finest science from our travels around the world.
And don't forget that we beam this programme live into Second Life from 6pm UK time, which is 10am Second Life time. That's a great group there who discuss the science of the show, so if you would like to join them, visit the Scilands and then search for the Naked Scientists. You can drop by our mansion, relax on one of our sun lounges and listen to the show. And while you're online, why not tell us how we could make our show even better? We want to hear from you, what you like or dislike about the show, so set up a survey at thenakedscientist.com/survey.